Hey, listeners, during this time when we're navigating all of this fast-paced energy, it is so important to find people to walk with you. Check out my website, megmichaelson.com, and click on the Transforming Yourself entry sessions. You can do that on your own. It's great with a partner if you're having relationship issues, because I do counsel one-on-one, but I also counsel partners. Join me. It is a fast way to get more awake and to get out of our own way. And I'd be so honored to work with you. So again, go to my website, megmichaelson.com. I look forward to having sessions with you. Hello, welcome back to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michaelson, and I'm so happy that you're here. It is truly an honor. My audience continues to grow. Maybe instead I should say my listeners continue to share this with others, and I keep hearing from new people that are finding this of value. So thank you so much, and continue to share if, of course, you feel like this would be of value to others. In today's podcast, I want to talk about more of the energy of 2024 and how that directly impacts each of our lives. Now, every year has a certain energy, and I've talked about it a little bit at the beginning of this year. However, of course, there's always more to bring up, because in a half hour, we talk about just skimming sometimes. And we also talked about February as being the love month, and February is ending and March is now beginning. So I want to have us all check in a minute. I like to look back at the end of each month and see what shifts occurred, how I grew, how I felt a little different. I don't like do this over a whole day. I just have it in those sometimes those early morning moments when I wake up, or after a significant dream, or the end of the day, or when I take some time to sit. So just allow yourself reflection time, and especially at the end of the month, but throughout the month, if you can. So as we all know, 2024 is a leap year, and leap years are fun. We all think, ooh, leap year is lucky. Some cultures really do think that a leap year is luckier, and some don't. And as much as the unpredictability of the past few years have brought us all, a leap year, which is a number four year, supports the energy of greater groundedness. And every human I know, including me, needs more groundedness. So this number four year, this leap year, encourages us to establish roots, pursue stability. This year, the universe is giving us time to think things through, especially this first quarter, January, February, March. The universe is urging us to make plans, but also look at how stable we are. So not go into flighty plans. However, look at where we are, where we want to go, and then what steps do we need to take? And what do we need to look at to correct now in our current lives so we can go after those big dreams? And of course, the number system, when I talk about this is a number four year, that is symbolic. And the number four is here to remind us of what is important to each of us, the world at large, our value system. So I really want to delve into that a bit more today, and how we can really use this energy to our advantage, how we can really use this energy towards our highest good and fulfilling the destiny we came here to fulfill. 2024 is one of those years that is going to more strongly inspire us to take charge of our lives, finding more healthy self-acceptance, and really courageously and with determination, follow our passions. Now, whenever we have a passion, it would be great if it could just happen in a nanosecond to develop that. It doesn't, because as humans, we're meant to learn to feel strong and persevere. And we will find it easier to persevere in 2024. It just has that energy, but of course, it's up to all of us. We'll feel more empowered to learn more about ourselves, who we are, and like I said, what we value. Really important for us to be looking at what we value, and are we living those values? And then are we taking that and moving forward in great ways? So if you're willing, take a moment now take a breath. I'm such a believer in take a breath, let the shoulders drop, and notice what's been on your mind lately. Now, there's been a lot of fast energy, but what has been on your mind? How are you feeling about life? How are you feeling about the plans you're making? How are you feeling about the forward momentum? Where are you feeling stuck? And can you let a shift happen? Whether or not we're clear on where we want to go, it is still the first quarter of the year. So this year is still new. So if you just let yourself notice it, feel any shifts, notice if you've had a shift. Boy, this past week especially, I have, and many others I've spoken with, have had a really strong shift in our level of determination, our level of awareness of what we want to go after, a little bit more of that pedal to the metal feeling. If you did not know or have your goals yet, it's okay. It's okay because there's always time in our life. Doesn't matter how old we are. We always have time to reach new goals, to pursue new goals, to find new goals. But a way to begin that is to start to ask yourself what you're envious about in other people. You know, envy is something that we want to look at from a learning perspective. Envy's not wrong. Envy helps guide us of what we want in our life that's missing. One of my daughters recently told me about something she listened to regarding envy. And I really liked what she told me. When we're envious about something someone else has, whether that's more money, a better job, a better spouse, bigger house, great hair, less flab, etc. There's so many things. Because it's so easy for us to do that, to compare ourselves sometimes, isn't it? But what if, when we catch ourselves doing that, we choose instead to look at the whole life of the person that has something we want, not just that one thing that they have that we want, not just the one thing. For instance, if you're envious about someone else's paycheck, ask yourself if you want their whole life, because we can get caught up in then really looking at someone and envying them when it's just one thing in their life that we are envious about. Look at the whole life. Step in their shoes a minute. Maybe they have lots of money. Maybe they have a better job than you do. But also, maybe they have a bad marriage with lots of competition, lots of arguing that they're not working through. Maybe they have all this money, but they're depressed or they don't feel satisfied. So instead, can you focus on why you want what they have? Be specific. Go within. What is it about that person that's drawing me there, that's causing this envy? Maybe it's really not more money that you want. Maybe it's the stuff money buys. Maybe you want more travel, nicer clothes. I was just talking to someone today. I was at Well House, and someone came in that I love chatting with, and she loves to travel, and she doesn't have a lot of money. There are so many ways we can travel without having a lot of money. I do it. So maybe it's not the money. But what is it about the money that you're wanting the money for? Start to think in those terms. Maybe it's not their job, but you want something you're more passionate about. But maybe it's not that job that you want. So there are so many ways to create a life we are more in tune with. And we want to be specific and find out what it is when we're envious, what it is about someone else's life that's drawing us there. So once you identify what you want, and that, of course, shifts over time. I have goals and dreams from when I was young, even 5 years ago, that I don't feel I have that need for anymore. Some of them, of course, I fulfilled, and some of them I let go. So once we identify what we want, ask yourself, connect with your higher power, connect with your higher self. How can you create that? How can you create that? What steps am I open to taking? Because it really can take a while, remember, to meet a goal. Rarely does that happen overnight. However, once we get that determination going, we can focus on that feeling of excitement towards something that we want, and then be open to the universe's help, be open to people's help, be open to seeing the signs as we work towards the goals we've set. Then where we are feels and we're living more love, more lovely, and an appreciation. Because when we're tired and we're not doing enough self-care, we often focus on where we are not. Instead of looking at how far we've come towards whatever our goal is or what we've overcome in our life, I've talked about this before. There is so much we don't know. There is so much we can't see. We don't always see the signs. We don't always see the help we're getting until we get it. But that energy of movement is already there, especially when we try to stay in alignment with possibility. So staying open, even when we feel like we're not moving forward. And then we notice more of those events. We notice all of the magic, you know, the stuff I call magic, those synchronicities, meeting certain people, running into someone you haven't seen in a while, or having a conversation with a new person, and you have all of this in alignment. And then we can start to realize things are so much more in sync than we thought, because now we're feeling good. Now we have that beautiful body-soul connection, and we notice way more of what's going on that we don't notice when we're feeling out of alignment. So when we practice this more often, we shift our perspective on life into more truth, less stories of what you can't have, greater potential to go after what you can have. That's the strength of this year. Set our goals, have a vision, take the steps, enjoy the journey. Every day we can, if we allow ourselves, find things to appreciate, simple things. You know, these changes that we want to make, they can be small changes. Small changes can lead to bigger changes. Every day, appreciation. And now we're in alignment with our higher vibration. And now things can happen faster. We meet the right people. We get a call. We find someone who knows someone. Every step leads us. I have had so many beautiful synchronistic events this week. And I pay attention and I appreciate. And I really notice when I am in that higher vibration. Because I'm not always in the higher vibration. I'm human. Some mornings I wake up and I have to get myself back into that higher vibration. I've talked about Mr. Rogers before. I have a little book that someone bought for me years ago, and I read it. I pull it up and read it whenever I have that nudge. And something I read the other day, his quote, imagining something, and that can be through envy, everybody, can be through envy, imagining something, maybe the first step in making it happen. Imagination can be the first step in making it happen. But it takes the real time and real effort of real people to learn things, make things, turn thoughts into deeds or visions, and then into inventions. And 2024 gives us more energy to do that. Now, you might also be noticing this year your desire for greater inner growth, a desire for a greater spiritual expansion. A lot of people have been talking to me about this. This year has that potential. Whether or not we act on it, just like everything else, is up to us. Even spiritual expansion, taking the time to pause and breathe, taking the time to look at the sky and wonder what's beyond Earth. There's so much, right, we can't see. Leap year 2024 has many karmic and fated events, and they're here to help us face and resolve a lot of our difficulties from our past. So that's coming up too, because we want to sweep those out so we can step into greater goodness. You know, all the toxic things that happen to us, those relationships we've had or still have for some people, those events that we have that feel really crummy, that's all part of our old karma. And those, in my belief, are here to help us learn and grow and shift out of that. So this year, we also have more attention to connect to that soul purpose, to sweep out the past. Connect with people over the end of last year and continuing into this year that are here to help us move forward, change our lives for the better. Long-term growth, long-term evolutionary changes. That's a number 4 year. Long-term growth, long-term changes. And so I just upped my exercise routine because I felt my body was like, okay, you got to do a little bit more. I'm getting older and I want to have a healthy body. And I can feel it's easier now for me to stay with these changes. This is that kind of a year. So the things you're setting the stage for now are really to help you long term. The people you're connecting with, the people that come your way, especially those you get that feeling about. You've had a interesting feeling like, I feel like I know them, or wow, we had an immediate click. Pay attention to those feelings, that inner knowing, that you know that person somehow, even though you just met them. That instant connection. I recently have that, and I brought this up on another podcast, Dr. Rose Kumar, who runs the Alani Center here in Wisconsin. And she had been trying to get a hold of me. I called her back, and the second I called her back on her business line, not her cell phone, she walked in my office door. Totally synchronistic. And we have had so many beautiful connections in the short time we've known each other, meant to work together on some way in this lifetime. But we pay attention to that. We both are paying attention to that. And those connections that we feel, the shivers down our spine or on our arm, they're here to help us stay the course. Those are soul contracts. So we want to keep ourselves in alignment as much as we can. And those people, like Dr. Rose Kumar for me, she's to help me stay in alignment, and I'm to help her stay in alignment. We have many things we're going to be learning and sharing with each other. We're both noticing those shivers. And oftentimes we get frustrated that we're not where we want to be, that it's taking longer than we thought it's supposed to take. And then we lose our connection from our soul self, and we're further away from that light or our higher self source. When we reconnect, however, to those people that are coming our way, don't ignore those connections. They're here for goodness. Those high level connections where you feel that feeling. Pay attention. Take moments to find peace again. Step back into appreciation. We can move closer to our higher self, that beautiful soul self, where we're integrated and light-filled. When we stay connected to those people, when we stay connected to ourself, when we stay connected to the beautiful sky in our appreciation. You know, there are so many beautiful places we can meet in our minds. And we can choose to be in the yuck of our minds, or we can choose to go into the memories of goodness or the visions of what we want or imagination of anything, like even the ocean and the sound of the ocean. Every time we choose to shift our thoughts into something of beauty, we bring ourselves closer to what we want and realignment with our higher self. Because when we dip, we always have a choice. As quickly as we remember, find five things to appreciate about your life. So when you take a dip, find five things, or sometimes it only takes one thing, to appreciate. And then all of a sudden you're back in alignment, and then that mojo happens. Then we're ready to giddy up and go. Of course, as I said before, this takes time. It takes that time to pause, to wonder, to breathe. Staying open to the signs and symbols, staying open to the shifts in the feelings, seeing those around us with more kindness and love, and letting our guard down and learning to trust those people that we have those feelings for, those good feelings, like, I know they're here to help me somehow. I'm not talking about the rescuer, the savior, or those that are trying to control you. This is different. This is that feeling where, wow, I just really feel like they're in my life for a reason. And we will get those nudges. We just want to stay open to them. I'm going to give you another Mr. Rogers quote because I'm such a Mr. Rogers fan. In times of stress, the best thing we can do for each other is to listen with our ears and our hearts and to be assured that our questions are just as important as our answers. I had a woman stop into Well Goods, the shop at Well House. And we had not met before. She was her first time in there. We talked about the benefits of castor oil. She was looking castor oil and how that could benefit her thyroid. She struggles with hypothyroidism, and the current stress she's under said are causing her symptoms to really increase. In our conversation, she opened up. I didn't ask her questions about what her stress was, nor did she tell me, but just that she's undergoing so much stress and it's increasing. And I explained in our short time together the importance of finding peace within our days, even when and especially when we have stress. That's when our body needs it the most, those peace moments, those pause for peace moments. She said, I think she was in her 40s, at age 40, she had no idea how to find peace. And the situation she was in was going to become even more stressful. So in the store, I asked her, just take a few breaths. Breathe until you feel a release in your shoulders. You know, instead of the news or high energy music, turn on nature sounds. Touch your skin gently. She had been so used to handling stress in her head, she really did not know that she had the power to shift her thoughts into peaceful moments. When we allow ourselves to lean this way, to lean into those opportunities to find peaceful moments, those tough conversations that we are tending to avoid with ourselves and others can be handled with so much more kindness and love. We think that we're handling those stressful times by being in our head all the time trying to figure it out, but we're not. We want to have those tougher conversations with ourselves. Wait a minute, is this the right path? Is this the path to truth? This is a very karmic year, and you may find that you're confronted and working through some very old familial energies, old stories, old karmic patterns, old issues that you have not yet resolved. Reminding ourselves to use moments to feel ease will make all the difference, not only in our physical health, but also in our decision making. It's so important to take time to step out of the stress. And this year, as with every year, it is important to begin to find ways to live with a more peaceful heart. What does that mean, peaceful heart? I've been reading a really good book called The Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute. The Anatomy of Peace. I highly recommend this book. We forget sometimes that other people matter, other beings, other animals. They're not just objects. When we get caught in our own, what I call our own private Idaho, when we are feeling, woe is me, my problems are so big, I don't know what to do, we forget that other people are here and they matter too. It is not healthy for us to live within the thoughts of, I can't help anyone else, or I can't be there for anyone else because I'm so overwhelmed with my problems, or it's my way or it's the highway. You know, a dear friend of mine was talking, and we were talking about the book because she's reading it too. And she was saying how she noticed when she's driving down the highway, she will say that, excuse me, but that damn Toyota, or look at that effing pickup truck. They're in my way, or they're driving erratic. And she realized that she's objectifying, forgetting that there's an actual person in the car. We objectify when we're not careful. You know, the person in the car is not an object, and the car is being driven by that driver. It's so much easier to be mad at something when we treat it like an object. Notice how often we might say a big generalized statement like, oh, men suck, or all Democrats or all Republicans, or women are, or all millennials. I hear that one a lot, by the way, and I have a few kids that are millennials. I'm like, ah, overgeneralized statement. It's not true. In every moment, we are choosing to see people either as people or objects. Our children, our spouses, our neighbors, our colleagues, even strangers. They either count like we do or they don't. We might think they don't count because they don't like what we like. They don't think how we think. They don't choose what we choose. According to this book, Anatomy of Peace, when we see them as objects, our hearts are at war. Our hearts are not at peace. When we see them as people with their own pains, their own cares, needs, fears, when we're trying to step in their shoes and understand why is that person driving erratically, not excusing their behavior, but send a blessing instead of a curse. Now we are at peace. Now we have love in our heart. Lumping everyone into an era, into a race, into a political party, into a culture, into a faith, into a single stereotype is a way of failing to see them as people, as individuals. Think about how races or humans are victimized by violence or the sex trafficking taking young people as objects to be sold. Objects, not people with the same concerns, cares, needs that each of us have. This is a year to really be checking with self. How much are we objectifying living beings? We can remind ourselves that we are here to see people as people. We want to separate the person from the behavior. We can be mad at the behavior, but that human is still a human who has needs just like we do. Love people. Love our neighbors. Maybe not the behavior, but we can still send love and blessings, and that's way easier. It doesn't mean we don't hold boundaries. We still hold boundaries, of course. But there's a difference between war in our heart or peace in our heart. And we can get a lot more accomplished and actually even have more healthy energy when we find ways to have a peaceful heart. A woman I know has had her mom in a senior care facility for a while and in dementia care, like my mom is. And she has really come to peace with that. Before, it was a lot of stress, a lot of heartache. And now she's found peace in her heart around that. And she handles everything with much less emotion. Doesn't mean she doesn't care, but that peaceful way of dealing with things is so much healthier for our body than dealing with things like we're at a state of war. And it can be small things or big things. This year, more than ever, it is important to collaborate, communicate, connect with others. Much more teamwork, less on our own. Someone came into Well House, another person today. We had a wonderfully active, busy day. And she said she's really noticing this urge within her to connect, connect, connect with people. And she tended to do things on her own. And when we allow ourselves to connect, communicate, collaborate, find ways to bring people into our lives, find ways to problem solve from a collaborative standpoint, certainly with other people and also with our higher self. When we do that, we learn how to find ways to be more accepting, less judgmental. We learn to have less burdens on our physical shoulders. So our body, when we collaborate more, our physical body finds more ease, finds less stress, has less pain. And while doing that, we can learn to love more, love ourselves, feel more appreciation for others, even through the tough times. As I said earlier, we might not love the behavior, but every individual is more than their behavior. Less judgment. And when we allow ourselves to not like a behavior, deal with that behavior if we need to, but still love the person, it's so much easier to have teamwork and collaboration. So we're not focusing on that one thing that is annoying us. Then we can disagree and still love. And then we can work through those problems, work through those issues so much easier when we allow ourselves to think of the person and not just the behavior we don't like. This year, with that connection to more people, better teamwork, more collaboration, find time to connect more with people that are different than you. Try to expand. Our brain is always in need of learning. And when we expand with people that are not so similar to us, well, we think they might not be, it does expand, especially if we listen. Listen with our ears. Listen with our heart. Try to come to a common ground. You might find those people on your team or that you want on your team or that you brought on your team in whatever way aren't as different from you as you thought. You might actually find that you have a lot in common. So this year, this month, this beautiful month of March, which is spring, find ways to be in more communion with self, more communion with nature, and absolutely more communion with others. I am going to have a great spring. I hope you are too. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the likes and the shares. It's all so appreciated. Truly it is. Have a beautiful week, and I look forward to reconnecting next week.